This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
News and views from the dole queues.
Fighting back against the poverty machine. Breadline is broadcast from the stolen unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people. The unfairness of the so-called welfare system disproportionately affects Indigenous people.
Down with mutual obligations.
Raise the rate. Fair and equal treatment for all.
Of course they do. This is Breadline, as the intro just told you, and it's lovely to have an opportunity to talk to you again, friends, after the great radiothon activity that's just been happening, and all these people donated money to 3CR, which is such a lovely, kind-hearted solidarity act and makes the community stronger, which is such an important alternative to all the other so-called media that's out there. I mean, so friends just showed me some things about, like, it's scary, you know, like ultra-right wing people, you know, in support of foolish, awful humans like Pauline Hanson are like belting out all this rubbish that's untrue, fake news, etc., using AI, and it's really hard to keep up with it. And there's nothing more important than real human, real people's voices, which are so thin on the ground across the normal media. So I'd like to give a big thank you to some people who've donated again. I'd like to thank people who've donated to this show, Breadline. That's Ian McIntyre. He gave us $25. Elizabeth Shield, $27. Anne Maxwell, $16. Joe Malignani, who's does the music here, he gave us $10. Caitlin Morris, wonderful. $74. I mean, you know, we're talking about living in hard times and people giving this much money. Karina Aido, 15. Pilar Aguilera, 10. Meredith Butler, 20. Michaela Stubbs, 20. And some strange person by the name of Ian Ferguson gave 10. So that's me. But my nickname's Hank. Yes, I am Hank, doing this show, and I just wanted to give a great thanks to those people in support of the Unemployed show. And I know unemployed people, if you're listening, it's very difficult to, you know, get enough money together just to feed yourself. So it's quite an amazing thing that people can donate to this show. Now, today, we've been talking like for a few weeks about wanting to do this thing we call Dole Hacks. I know it sounds a bit like internet, you know, 10 best of this, 10 best of that, but, you know, Dole Hacks. You know, we can't, it might be a slightly longer struggle, hopefully not too long, to like get the bosses off our back and get the government off punishing us for something we're not responsible, which is being unemployed in a system which creates unemployment by the nature of it. And so how can we try and live the best we can? Of course, mutual aid, mutual support, finding ways that are claiming the commons back, getting food for free, all these things can make us actually be able to get by and have a slightly improved quality of life. So we're calling that Dole Hacks. And finally, I'm going to prioritise putting that on first. We did a pre-recording of it a couple of months ago now. So have a listen to this, my friends or friend.
So, yeah, Jessica here. So
I quite often do a bit of looking around Facebook, and I go to a page called The Centrelink System is Broken, and it's got about 27,000 members. So when someone pops a question in there, you get quite a lot of responses, good and bad. Mm-hmm. And so recently someone put a question in saying, I'm wondering how anyone actually survives on Centrelink nowadays and what people do to get by. And so I thought I'd read you out a few responses and we can sort of comment on them as we go through. So the first one was pretty bleak, we don't survive.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, instant noodles. If you're on JobSeeker, you're not supposed to survive on it.
Another I was going to say the instant noodles, it's like there are so many things you can do with instant noodles.
Yeah.
But you know one of my favourite ones, which is to like, I mean, if you want to, you can just chop up a bit of garlic and put some other things in the bottom of it. But I make it actually a soup.
Mm-hmm.
And all I do is like have one single egg and then when I put the egg in, I stir it round really quickly so that the egg makes nice streaky bits.
Right.
And you feel like you're like it's a fur or something.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
So you feel like you've had a proper meal and you have actually had some protein and some nutrition. So
yeah,
I think
good
that's good advice.
Cooking tips from Hank. And you know my one, which is just, chicken legs, which just throw them in the oven with a bit of soy sauce and garlic and honey on them because they're cheap.
Mm.
They sell them cheap because they're selling you the bones, which aren't really usable. But anyway.
Yeah. But they're really tasty like that then too. And you could actually, like, if you bake things, I always like to just throw a couple of veggies in there and you got nice baked veggies with it.
Sure. Yes. Okay, back to these tips on surviving on Centrelink. More negative ones, it's not possible. Another a positive one, dumpster diving. Food banks, charity, applying for everything you're entitled to.
That dumpster diving's the commons, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the amount of food wastage is criminal.
Shocking.
So you're actually doing the world a favour.
Yeah, you're taking it away from the rubbish piles.
Yeah.
And the thing about applying for all relevant payments, a lot of older people are carers for other people and sometimes they don't realise that they can apply for carers payments. This person saying, by the time my bills come out and the shopping, my bank is maybe $2 for 2 weeks.
Ouch.
That's not including paying for medication for my MS treatment. I had to use Zip Pay for 3 months of invoices for treatment, as they keep sending reminder letters. By the way, all these responses are different people. It's not one person saying this.
Yep.
Someone else.
You said there's 26,000 people in there, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So someone else said Afterpay. And I don't know a lot about Afterpay, but I think the idea is that you can pay things off gradually.
I tell you, I think it's good to avoid debt.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I know it's hard, but...
Well, there's comments on that further along, actually.
Right.
And so this is a positive one. Hubby and I are on the pension and chose to be nomads, travelling Australia in our caravan. No electricity, water rates. We stay in caravan parks, showgrounds for free, or house sitting, which is free accommodation. So in a way, by camping for free, they're using the commons as well.
Yeah. I've actually got a book at home too. People can probably look it up online though. There's a list of all the free camping sites around the country.
Yes.
So it's good to
know. There's an app too,
Oh, is there? Right.
Mm. Another comment here. You're not meant to survive, definitely not in this day and age. And then someone reminiscing about 2005 and 2006, how they were only getting $250 a fortnight, but that was enough to pay for their rent because they were in public housing.
Mm.
And so they had a little bit of money then left. They said Afterpay, lay-bys, friends and family, and love to my crazy pets. So, someone's getting by. And then another comment, one meal a day, not large meals, just enough to not be hungry, sandwiches. And that just makes me feel a bit sad. Again, that's that thing that we're forced into just hanging on in quiet desperation.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think food, you know, food security is a really important issue. It's clearly coming up a lot. So if you can make your own things out of ingredients that don't have GST on them,
Yeah.
It saves you a lot of money.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is someone commenting as well about food. I'm on the age pension. I manage only because I don't have a car and I'm in government housing, and therefore I'm only charged 25% of my pension on rent. I feel so sorry for anyone who has no choice but to rely on a car and who's paying a private rental. Yeah, for sure.
Mm. Another argument for free public transport. And if not, it should be for everybody, but definitely free public transport for people with a healthcare card, right?
Yeah, yep. This person says, I batch cook and that usually involves repetitive meals of red lentils, chickpeas, tinned tomatoes, either eggs or chicken. I can stretch a chicken to last me 10 meals. That's impressive.
I'm getting a mental image of a stretched chicken. Yeah, is it like one of those rubber ones? You
know? Yeah, I know. The only cereal I get is rolled oats. I eat very – and then someone else has commented in the same way, eating very frugally, beans, green vegetables, onions, potatoes and rice taste really good with different herbs. Can collecting in country roads. They must have a car, but they're onto it.
Hey, I might say I think we're coming up towards the end of the show. I think we should do a whole show on this
topic. Yeah, for sure.
And maybe, wouldn't it be nice if people – do you check the Breadline email?
Email, yes.
If people can send in comments there too, what's the email address?
I'd have to look it up. Breadline@3cr.com.au, I think. But
I can cut that bit out too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll start again. Well,
look at me. There's my great editing. I thought I'd edited those little bits out, but it doesn't matter. You know, I think, it's DIY, my friends, which is much better than overproduced rubbish. But, yeah, we're going to do more of those, and I hope you like it. And as I said, send us a message if you've got any dole hacks, any ways of, saving money, making life easier on ourselves that you can send in. I think it's a discussion worth having, and it's useful to be a regular part of Breadline, because we're all got to find ideas and ways of helping each other and surviving somehow. Apart from the bigger struggle, which is to overcome, as a first step, get these punishing laws, so-called mutual obligations abolished because they're just obscene. But there was a lot of talk about food in there, in our little recording, and why not play? We'll play a little promo for Food Not Bombs, which is another great thing that's been going for a long time, which is about not charity. It's not about charity. Charity has been around for millennia and it has never changed anything. What changes things is solidarity and community. And look at that. That's what Food Not Bombs is. It's eating together. It's having a community together and food being a central part of that. I want to drop food, not bombs. Hot trains, bottles, give it every info shop. I want to give free therapy out in the park. Go to free school, jump to top track. Rock, try food, not bombs. When I was new to Melbourne, I found a Food Not Bombs flyer on the road. And I had this fist with a carrot. And carrots are my favourite vegetable. Yeah, I think they were asking for help doing stuff. And I got in touch.
I guess rescue food
that would otherwise go to waste.
I like the aspect of sharing food and not making anyone feel obligated to pay anything for it.
We make a real point at Food Not Bombs of involving everyone who wants to be involved in whichever part they want to be involved in.
For more information, go to fnbmelb.noblogs.org. Food Not Bombs is a 3CR supporter.
We're celebrating 50 years of 3CR on Saturday, the 4th of July at Collingwood Town Hall. There'll be stalls, displays, great food, performances, activities, prizes, and so much more. It's a birthday for us, and we can't wait to celebrate with you. Saturday, the 4th of July, Collingwood Town Hall, 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. Bring your family, tell your friends, all are welcome. 3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Let us know you're coming. Go to Humanitix and search for 3CR to RSVP.
Yeah, so stick that in your diary. Sorry, that wasn't meant to sound like an insult. No, put that in your diary. It'll be a great event, 3CR's 50th birthday party. And go to 3cr.org.au. You can check out details on there as well. And just come along to 3cr.org.au as well, because as well as being on 8:55 on the AM dial, you can listen to all the shows. And there's links there so that you can, even though the radiothon is not running, it's never a bad time to donate to the show. And there's links to donate and also to subscribe as well. We're more than just past halfway through the show, and I think that I've got a song I thought was quite funny. It's quite an old one. It's especially for people who like listening to other shows on 3CR, such as Hillbilly Fever, might appreciate. This is by Tennessee Ernie Ford from 1953, but it's called Full Time Job. Yes, I want a full-time job, it says. I want a full-time job making love to you.
Speedy West.
Right here.
Harold Hensley.
Present.
Billy Liebert.
Here.
Billy Strange.
Yeah.
George Bruns.
Here.
Tennessee Ernie.
Oh, that's me.
It's showtime. Let's go.
I want a full-time job making love to you. I'll do anything you want me to. But if you have no plan to use a full-time man, a part-time job will do. I want a lifetime job holding hands with you, making all your dreams come true. But if your heart don't throb about a full-time job, a part-time job will do. You wouldn't have to pay me a nickel or a dime, as long as you would let me get in a little bit of overtime. I want a full-time job staying close to you, making all your dreams come true. But if your heart don't throb about a full-time job, a part-time job will do. You wouldn't have to pay me a nickel or a dime, as long as you would let me get in a little bit of overtime. I want a lifetime job holding hands with you, making all your dreams come true. But if your heart don't throb about a full-time job, a part-time job will do.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM, the voice of the community.
3CR, community radio, giving the voice to the community since 1976.
Woohoo! Hey, there you are. That was Tennessee Ernie Ford with a full-time job. And that's the kind of full-time job I'd like. None of this, because our life is precious, right? We've only got one of them. Why not spend your time, you know, in having healthy, good relations with people and devoting yourself to nice things like that? Because we are forced to sell big chunks of our precious life just to pay for our survival. And, you know, we're talking about dole hacks earlier. Thought I might go on to a bit more of a broader question, which is our morality, the morality of our society that makes people do that. Because, you know, you either are in our situation where, you know, paying rent is like a dream, almost an impossibility, and you've got to find ways around it, like these people were talking about permanently having to camp. Well, maybe that's a nice lifestyle, but not if you're forced to do it by economic circumstances. So you've got to sell yourself to a boss, big chunks of your life, just to pay for survival. And if you ask most people, I mean, honestly, I mean, do a vox pop. Ask most people if you won the lottery, et cetera, blah, blah. You know, the same old standard thing. They tell their boss to go and shove it and they wouldn't want to work again, even though when you look at job advertisements, it's all about, you know, all that terrible language about, like, you know, I love this work and I want to put in 150,000%, blah, 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 blah. And you're supposed to go into work and be happy when you get bossed around and wear yourself out so that when you get home, you just want to crash out on the lounge and can't even make yourself dinner because you've been working too freaking hard. And some people even work two jobs just so they can live in a cupboard in a share house and for like nearly all their pay. And I reckon we should be angry about this injustice. It's an injustice to everybody. And behind this, not behind it, but as part of it, I suppose there's two moralities, right? And I think it's important that we think about these broader issues, and because we are put down all the time and we have to remember that the morality that puts us down and tells us that we're, in inverted commas, failures, is based on big lies. Their morality, the morality of the bosses, of the parasites, says that life is a fight of all against all. To survive, you've got to, you know, your own self-interest must come first. You know, you've got to get the job before somebody else, blah, blah, blah. This is the morality of private business, right? This is the morality of bosses. Or you can call it the morality of capitalists. I mean, what's the function of a capitalist? The capitalist lives, at least on the basis of their economic position in society, for one function, is to make money out of people. And that's what creates poverty, right? Let's face it. And their morality you could call rugged individualism. This is the justification of their need to treat people as human resources. I'm not a human resource. I don't know about you. I don't want to be. To be used up and thrown away on the garbage dump when they're no longer needed. This morality treats everything and everyone as an object of private use. This morality is, in a word, drumroll, selfishness. Yes, it's a selfish society. And if you don't behave selfishly, then, of course, you're a failure, aren't you? Well, I beg to disagree. The rubbish that is capitalist economics, you know, they've got all their charts, they've got all these people who studied, you know, complicated mathematics who don't become mathematicians but end up making all these economic models that can predict nothing. It's all dressed up in fancy jargon, complicated theories, and used by obscenely overpaid people, plutocrats, whatever you want to call them, to justify sucking the blood out of billions of people. They say this theory underlying all of these big complicated graphs and formulas and et cetera, it's based on one big lie, which is that competition is natural and good for everyone. Well, any person who works hard day after day just to have their effort fill the bank account of some rich parasite, and, you know, you end up just being able to pay your rent or your mortgage or, you know, the cost of living goes up. You know, you can see that that's the opposite is true. You can see it. Lots of people don't see it because they're bombarded with stupid ideas like that the fault of their suffering is because there are poorer people who need somewhere to live called refugees or, you know, anti-immigration rubbish and all that. But still, it's clear if you want to see it. And all this stuff is just a sophisticated camouflage for selfishness. Right. I haven't got long to go, but I want to get to the most important thing, which is there is something that is real, that is actually underlying our nature as social animals. We evolved as social animals, and that means working together. That means having solidarity. It doesn't mean just doing what other people tell you. It doesn't mean belonging to some abstract idea of a collective identity that you haven't chosen to belong to voluntarily and doing what you're told. It means voluntarily seeing your common interests and working with people that you respect as having those common interests and worth working together with. This is solidarity. It's the opposite morality of the lie of competition. Competition is part of nature, but it's not the whole story, and it's not the fundamental thing of what makes us humans social animals, and it's our solidarity. And it is this solidarity that is the strength, is our only strength against our exploitation and against all of the terrible things that go on in the world. Now, you can talk later about what's the right tactic, should we have political demonstrations, should we have direct action, should we sabotage things, or just or go online and participate in online discussions about it, or whatever tactic you want. The main thing is we've got to stick together, and we can move on after that. And that's why we've got a union. I'd like to talk at a later point about what it means to be in a union, and I actually think that if a union apes or copies the social structures or the structures of the ruling society, which function is to oppress us, then you're going to end up with centralization and bureaucratization, which destroys the actual purpose and replaces the purpose of the union. But that's a different thing. The point is that we have solidarity, and our enemy focuses on only one small portion of what nature is about, which is competition. Solidarity crushes the parasite's immorality of selfishness because it says everyone has a right to well-being. They want you to compete with your sisters and brothers, to believe in their creed of selfishness, because they know that our unity is their doom. All of their wealth and power are nothing against the potential energy of billions of us if we adopt our natural path. And I'm saying all this because we have a choice, and if you think about it, and it might be obvious, but if the point isn't made again and again and again against this barrage of destructive ideology, well, then we're lost. Anyway, I have a person from Eritrean Voice standing at the door, so I'm going to play a song and wish you all good luck. And here's Bilet v jedna strona by Helena Majdanets.
Pędzi, pędzi pociąg w jedną stronę w dal. Potem nagle staje i znowu pędzi tam. Koła umykają w jednym rytmie. Pędzi, pędzi pociąg w jedną stronę w dal. Koło kołem toczy, już dostrzegam cel. Koła umykają w jednym rytmie. Bo tak już jest podróży, jupi, jupa, że czas się strasznie dłuży. O losie, więc szybko, szybko mknij ten w dal. O, 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 o. Pędzi, pędzi pociąg w jedną stronę tam. Koło kołem toczy, już dostrzegam cel. Koła umykają w jednym rytmie. Thank you.
been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.